actor Marlon Brando is dead at the age of 80. He died at a Los Angeles hospital. The cause of death is being withheld. Brando revolutionized screen acting with his performances in On the Waterfront, Streetcar Named Desire, and The Godfather. Joining us now to discuss Brando is Slate movie critic David Edelstein. David, give us a sense of just how much Brando changed film acting.
Oh, I think there's no way to overestimate the influence of Marlon Brando on acting in this century, especially in this country. He was maybe the best film actor who ever lived. He's responsible for a lot of bad habits that some people picked up, but a lot of good ones too. To talk about Brando, you have to know something about the method and about the actor's studio where the method was being taught. More than anything, those people valued being in the moment, seeming to be alive, seeming to think, you know, right in front of you, rather than just recite these lines in a kind of hammy way. And Brando, more than anyone, appeared actually to be thinking when he acted. I think Norman Mailer said it best in an essay he wrote on Last Tango in Paris. He said that Brando could make every line sound like it was an imperfect compromise among four or five things he might have said. You just had this sense of a living consciousness in front of you.
And he won an Academy Award for On the Waterfront, refused to accept one for The Godfather, quite famously. Was this part of his bad habits? He really publicly turned his back on the Hollywood establishment.
Well, he was a brilliant man, and he was also a flake. And I think he got increasingly crazy as he aged, increasingly isolated, and he began to make sport of his own eccentricities. I mean, in later years, he never even memorized his lines. You know, he insisted on having them read to him through an earpiece. And many of the his later performances, he kind of made searching for a line look like searching for a thought. Brando was weird. Brando was weird. He always had a little bit of contempt for acting, for the thing that he did better than anyone on earth. He always was just a little bit above it somehow. And yet I think that gave, if I can be a little pretentious here, that gave his performances a kind of transcendental quality. He transcended every role he was in. You really felt that you were seeing this magnificent titanic consciousness in front of you. In Streetcar Named Desire, probably his most revolutionary and influential performance, he was wrong for Stanley Kowalski, which was meant in Tennessee Williams' play to be kind of a brute, this animal bringing down the fragile, over-refined Blanche DuBois. But he gave Stanley such a titanic consciousness of his own that he really turned the play into a duet.
And his life, his personal life, was marked by tragedy. His daughter committed suicide. His son was convicted of killing his daughter's boyfriend. He ballooned to gross proportions himself, and lately was reported to be in deep debt.
He was an enormously self-indulgent man. I mean, I don't think that he denied himself any pleasures in life. I mean, he famously slept with many, 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 many women. You know, he bought an island. He was, you know, I always pictured him as this sort of Gauguin-like voluptuary who sat on a hammock in his island, you know, consuming, you know, not a piece of pie, but whole pies at a time, you know. He was probably not a great example for his kids. He wasn't around much, and the behavior that he modeled, this sort of I can do anything behavior, is probably not the best, you know, strategy for parenting.
But a great example for actors and for the film business.
Well, he's inimitable, and even though he's been out of it for a little while, it's still a crushing loss.
David Edelstein of Slate Magazine, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.